Thank you, Pastor Nathan, for putting the pressure on me. What if I have something that's incoherent and babbling? I do want to thank you for inviting me to come preach here. You know, it's weird. I've been here a couple times, but out there, not up front. When I was asked to preach at Weiser Lake a couple weeks ago, I had to pick from my backlog of sermons because, as you all know, when you invite a guest pastor, they microwave their sermons. So I thought, oh, we're coming into the new year. Let's make this something upbeat and encouraging. Then a couple days later, I went to Port Gamble, a little town kind of on the Hood Canal a little bit, for the memorial service of my college friend, Mary DeLong, who died of brain cancer. She was a PK, a pastor's kid, who was beloved by family and friends, and as happens, seems to happen more and more in my life, I shed tears for my friend and her grieving loved ones. But I also remembered the many other families and friends that she had, and then I remembered all the family and friends that I've had that have passed away. My parents, Nadine's mom, old classmates, those from my church families, those from the community, and it just seemed like in the last couple months we had a rash of those. And I remembered the others who are struggling with things like cancer and other terrible diseases, struggling with relationships that are heartbreaking, struggling with mental illness and poverty and loneliness and guilt and shame, and the list goes on. You see, life, it isn't always upbeat and encouraging. In fact, for most of us, for many of us, life is full of struggles. It is filled with some kind of pain. So, because I'm probably not the only one here who is either dealing with pain in their life or has loved ones who are struggling with pain in their lives, I chose a message looking at pain, and specifically why God allows us to suffer through pain. Now, this was before I realized that the kids were taking notes. So, kids, look at it this way. You get to listen in to what the grown-ups talk about when you're not around. Okay? So maybe you can pay attention to that, knowing you'll eventually be a grown-up too. But when we talk about the pain of death or divorce or abuse or unemployment, we're not just talking about like a stage of life that we go through. Because when we talk about the pain of arthritis or cancer or MS or any of a thousand other diseases, we're not talking about really a medical condition. And when we talk about the pain of depression or despair or grief, we're not talking really about like an emotional state that we're going through. We're talking about people. People who are hurting, crying, and yes, dying. We're talking about our grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, children and grandchildren, aunts and uncles, friends and fellow churchgoers. People who we care about. And in the midst of our pain, the question most of us have is, why? Why is there this kind of pain? Why do we have to go through it? And why? Why would God, the God who says he loves us more than we can ever imagine, why does he allow pain in our lives? Well, as we deal with the pain in our hearts and perhaps in other parts of our bodies as we get older, it's hard to imagine pain really being a good thing. Yet, if we step back from it, we can see that there are some good things to it. For example, pain can be beneficial to tell us that something is wrong and we need to see a doctor, even if you're an old Dutch guy who doesn't want to go to the doctor. It's a warning to us of greater danger. That old thing they tell you about kids touching a hot stove. They realize as soon as they touch it, shouldn't be touching hot stoves anymore. They teach us something. If nothing else, don't do that again. They give us empathy for someone who might also be going through pain. I feel your pain. They help us to grow. Think of strength training or physical therapy after something happens to you. And they help us to focus on what's important. You know, that old slap in the face, that gets your attention real quick. Think of a pain of a funeral. When else do you think about these things? But while that may answer the question, why is there pain, still doesn't answer the question, why does God allow that pain in our lives? Why does God allow heart disease or MS or Alzheimer's or cancer? Why does God allow heartache, broken relationships, rejection? Why does God allow babies to die in their cribs, teenagers to die driving home from a basketball game, healthy fathers to die in a war, beloved mothers to die in their sleep? And why when we pray and pray and pray, why doesn't God answer those prayers by healing or saving us or the one from whatever we're going through, saving us or saving our loved ones? So let me start by saying that the question is not new for God's people. Maybe they didn't ask about cancer or Alzheimer's 3,000 years ago, but all through the Bible, there are suffering people who scream out, "Why, God? Why did you let this happen? Why don't you heal me?" Perhaps the best example is the tragic figure of Job, who you can read about in a book named after him. He not only suffers physical diseases, terrible diseases, but Job lost everything, everything that was important to him. His family, his wealth, his property. So when Job asked God, why, what was the Lord's answer? It was simply, "Who are you to question my will? I am God." And maybe that's all there is to say. God is God, and whatever he decides is what he wants, even if it hurts us. But then Jesus came into the world and showed us a God who healed diseases and even raised the dead. Crowds followed him just to touch his hem, just for a healing touch. He healed the sick and afflicted, even when they didn't know who he was or what he could do. And yet, even Jesus didn't heal everyone. I have lots of questions about the Bible. But one of the questions I always wondered is, if Jesus could heal anyone he wanted, and we believe he could, then what happened to Joseph, his stepfather? We read about Mary all through the Gospels, but not about Joseph after Jesus was 12 years old in the temple. We don't know what happened, but the assumption is that Joseph died. Yet, if Jesus could heal everyone, why not Joseph? Or why didn't Jesus save John the Baptist? The answer, of course, is that our Lord chose not to heal everyone, even when he was asked. And the same is true today, obviously. We know that because every Sunday we pray. We pray for people, and yet some of them are not healed. Some of them even die. So even though we don't like to think it, God must somehow allow disease and pain and death. But we're still left with the question of why. Why does God allow pain? And people have asked this question and studied this question for as long as they've known about a God. And if you really want to know what the answer is, I will tell you. We don't know. Nobody knows the definitive answer. God alone knows. As author John Timmer wrote, "Christianity has no answer for deep pain. All it has is a reply, a concrete way of dealing with it. And that concrete way is to have faith in God, even the God who allows pain." Let's read what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to look at verses 7 through 10. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." If ever there was a saint who deserved only blessings from the Lord, it was the Apostle Paul. He was chosen by the Lord himself for a miraculous conversion that transformed Saul the persecutor into Paul, the most famous evangelist and most prominent scripture writer in history. He was a man who talked to Jesus himself, was given a vision of heaven, who did incredible miracles in the name of Jesus. And yet the Lord not only permitted Paul to suffer this thorn in the flesh, a thorn brought on by Satan himself, but when asked 3 times by Paul to take it away, the Lord chose not to. Now, we don't know exactly what the thorn in the flesh was, although the Greek wording seems to infer that it was an ongoing, painful, physical malady of some sort. What we do know is what Jesus said to Paul. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." I'll stop for a minute and let that sink in. A couple of years ago, I went through a very painful episode of kidney stones. And if you've had kidney stones, right now you're going, because it hurt. If one of those ER nurses had said to me, "Hey, Jim, at least God's grace is sufficient for you because his power is made perfect by your kidney pain," well, I might have said some really unchristlike things to her. But that's because I would have been thinking merely in physical terms. My pain is here and now, and I'm suffering. But not thinking about the spiritual, God's plan for me and for all his children in eternity. It's kind of like physical therapy. The physical therapist pushes us to the brink of exhaustion and pain, and we don't like it. But they know that this will help us. It'll help us heal or help us get stronger, and it will benefit us in the long run. Now, I can't speak for my kidney stones, but I know it was true in Paul's case. Paul was kind of an uber apostle, the special one who had every reason to be proud. But God knew that a proud leader was not going to help the kingdom. So the Lord allowed Satan to inflict Paul with some terrible thorn, whatever it was. And Paul understood that. He even said in verse 7 that God allowed the thorn in his flesh to keep me from becoming conceited, to bring Paul closer to Christ. Now, I hesitate to say this because most of us, we really don't want to hear it. But I know it's true. When believers have hardships in their lives, they become closer to and usually more like Jesus. Look at your own life. When things are going well, how many times did you spend in prayer, reading the Bible, having compassion on those who were worse off than you? But then compare that to the times when things seemed hopeless and you needed help. You needed the Lord. And those were the times when you called out to him, when you searched the scriptures for words of hope, when you understood what true weakness was and how you could sympathize with and help others who might be going through those things or even worse things. Now, please understand, God doesn't allow suffering just to teach us to be better Christians. In fact, I really believe the opposite. There is so much brokenness, sin, and suffering in the world that if it wasn't for God's mercy and protection from most of it, we all would be overwhelmed to the point of despair. But, on the other hand, if there were no bad things in the world, who needs God? I have several friends who are, their things are going well in their life. They're healthy, they have money, their families are all doing well, at least that's what they say. If life was pain-free, why worship and surrender your life to something or somebody? But the world is not perfect, and being pain-free is really only illusion. Nobody stays healthy forever. Nobody. And wealth always brings its own problems. And no family is perfect, even Nadine's. So whether it is because the world is broken, Satan is powerful, or we are sinful, there is pain. And God allows these horrible, what we think of as horrible things to touch us. He doesn't protect us from everything. As a parent, shouldn't. We shouldn't protect our children forever from all evil in the world. We guide them through that. Think of the reasons we mention as to why physical pain can be good. The same reason holds true when we talk of emotional pain. Yet even when there is pain, the Lord shows that He is a loving and compassionate God. Because He says that when pain does come, My grace is sufficient. He still gives us what we need to understand the pain. And not only understand it and withstand it, but to grow from it. Pastor John Piper says in his book, Cancer and God's Sovereignty, that we don't beat cancer by staying alive. Cancer doesn't win if we die. No, cancer wins if our faith dies. That means that we win by growing closer to Christ, whether cancer goes in remission or whether it kills us. Brothers and sisters, our God is a great God. He never gives up on us and always wants to bless us, even in the midst of terrible trials. But please don't forget, God's ultimate goal isn't to give you blessings or even to make us more Christ-like. His ultimate goal is to show His glory so others will come to Him. When Jesus brought Lazarus back from the dead, He didn't do it just so Lazarus would be alive again. He did it so that all who witnessed the miracle and later all those who told others about it would believe in Him. Four times in the story in John 11, Jesus basically says, I let Lazarus die and then raised him back to life so that you all would believe. So allowing God's glory to be shown should be our goal too. When we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, it wasn't so that we could get the benefits of being His children. It wasn't so that we would be healthy and happy and rich and have perfect families, no matter what those TV preachers tell you. We became His children. We accepted Jesus as our Lord so that we could dedicate our lives to Him and His glory. So, why does God allow our loved ones to die? Why does He permit pain and suffering in our lives? Why didn't He take away Paul's thorn in the flesh? And why did He not save His only begotten Son, Jesus, from the misery and hell of the cross and death? Why? I don't know. But the answer really isn't important. What's important is whether or not what we go through brings us and others closer to God, or whether it separates us from God. Let me leave you with this story. Many years ago, there was an older man who had cancer. And as he died, his daughter-in-law watched how he handled his impending death. And she marveled at his peace, even his joy at the thought of being with his Savior Jesus. It made such an impression on her that she turned her life over to Jesus. And that daughter-in-law and her husband would go on to share their faith and their lives with a group of people, starting a little church. And because of their faithfulness, there was a Water's Edge church in Birch Bay, Washington, that Nadine and I were fortunate enough to be a part of, and that was a family of faith and a sanctuary of grace for a lot of people. It changed people's lives and brought them closer to Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that God caused that man to suffer and die so that there would be a Water's Edge church to bring people closer to God. Just like I would never say God caused my dad to die, which brought me to Christ, so that I would give my life to Jesus and would later get up in front of people and proclaim God's word. What I'm saying is what Paul wrote: God's grace will be sufficient, and his power will be made perfect. It's about God. It's not about us. You see, there has been and always will be pain in this world and in your life, sorry to say, at least until the Lord Jesus comes again or you join him in heaven. So when we go through these personal things, when I hear pastors who are giving the prayers of the congregation and I hear the names and what's going on in the church families, when you deal with whatever the thorn is in your flesh, or maybe as you help someone else who is going through struggles and pain, try to count your blessings. First, the blessings God is giving you, and seek his power and grace to just get through another day. That's all we ask in our Lord's Prayer. The Lord might not take away your thorn or your cancer or your grief, but for all who believe in him and have faith in the end, we really will be in a better place. A place closer to our Lord Jesus. A place that we can talk about and share with others who need him, now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of life. It's really neat to hear a baby crying in a congregation, knowing that this is what a church family is all about, from young to old. But Lord, we also have to thank you for all that comes with life, including the pain that sometimes comes for us or for our family and all the people that we care about. May we, Lord, remember that it's not about us. It's always about you. And even through the pain and the struggles that we may go through as we leave the sanctuary, may you be glorified. Be glorified through our weaknesses, because that's what we are here for. I pray this for all of us. In Jesus' name. Amen.